West Covina.
California. I love how every time you ask me if I'm ready, I'm like, yeah, and then I take a drink of something.
You do. You do literally do that every single time.
Every time. I think it's compulsive.
Anyway. I guess you're just making sure you're ready.
I'm really ready.
Well, sorry for the delay, listeners. We really had some issues last time we were trying to record this episode, but...
We really did.
We've so got here. Things together.
We had some interference, some hellish interference.
Maybe Mercury was in retrograde, because it feels like it's always in retrograde.
Yeah. Yeah.
That little bitch.
If my life is anything to go by, Mercury is constantly in retrograde.
Well, welcome back, listeners. We've come to the end, to the conclusion, to the finale of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and...
Oh, I was like, oh, it's 2 a.m.?
No.
News to me.
Yeah, I just really wanted to blindside you on air.
Well, we're never doing this again after today.
I really wanted to get a live reaction out of you.
Love it. And I'm just like, bye!
Just a full ambush. I love that. Yeah, so we've come to the end of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's been quite a ride, actually.
It really has.
And with literally the last episode, I don't know how to feel about it. I've been very indifferent.
Really?
Yeah, I have like a very neutral emotion about it. I'm like, yeah, like I get it, but I'm like also like annoyed with it.
Did you not feel satisfied with the ending?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about that, because I feel like, I mean, I really liked the finale. I liked the ending, and I liked where they left everything, but at the same time, I thought it was interesting how much the buildup was about her romantic life, and then to, like, have her end up with no one, which I liked.
Yes. Okay. See, this thing is I'm okay with that. I'm okay with her literally not choosing any of them.
Oh, yeah.
I was okay with that. What I was annoyed about was there was literally all of that rev up towards it. It's just like, all right, so... Before I even get into that, let's just go way back to the beginning, because I'm like, I feel like this has to play directly into that. So, at the very, especially since I rewatched only the beginning portion right when she gets to West Covina and they do that song, West Covina. I rewatched that one specific spot.
Yeah.
And rewatching the first episode, I'm like, to begin with, like, the intro is completely different to the rest of the series. Like, the first, like, 8 or 10 minutes are, like, so different from everything
else.
Yeah,
it's, like, practically in black and white.
Yeah.
She's, like, she's got, like, season 5 Scully haircut, like.
I know. She also looked, like, super, super skinny.
She does. She looks very thin in the first season in general.
Yeah, but, like, in that particular instance, I was just, like, I don't know. Well... Because I also, like, kind of attribute that to, like, how depressed and stuff she was. It's like, she probably didn't eat and stuff, especially since she was working all the time. So she was probably just...
being on medication,
mm-hmm.
you know. No, that was really interesting. Like, I was watching season 4, I was telling you, I finished season 4 and then went back and watched season 1. And that was actually one of the things I noticed. I was like, oh, they really, like, in season 4, like... I don't know if she, like, gained weight purposefully for the role, or if they just were, like, you know, whatever, like, be at your natural weight. Like, they really, like, season 1, she is, like, extremely, like, it's not even that she's that much thinner. She just, they, like, really have her, like, strapped into dresses, and, like, she's got push-up bras every scene. Like, you can tell she's, like, wearing Spanx half the time.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, very... made up, like, her hair is very done up, her makeup is very done up, she's like really strapped into these costumes. Especially that scene where, is that the first episode where she goes to the party?
Yeah, and it's like Greg. The sexy getting ready song.
Yeah, she is like really like like done up. And then in season four, they, you know, after she's gone through all this stuff, that her, like, her hair is very, like, just kind of down and natural. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's not really wearing a lot of makeup. They kind of have her a lot in jeans and kind of loose tops. Like, it's very, the costuming is very, very noticeable. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's very much, like, how you naturally progress in a relationship. It's just, like, at the beginning, you have to, like, present yourself a certain way, or you're just like, I'm like this, and it's just like, and then you get in, and you're like, by the time you get to the end, you're just like, yeah, this is, like, me, this is who I am, if you like me, yeah. It's like, this is, like, season four is definitely where you fart in front of each other. Like, it's that comfortable of a relationship, because honestly, as a viewer, once you're that far in, you're ready for anything. You're just like, yeah, I'm along for the ride. I want to see what happens to Rebecca.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I was always, like, rooting for her, but she definitely makes it more difficult in the first season.
Yeah. It's because of how erratic she is.
Yeah, and also because you're just, like, well, I guess for me, like, watching it, I was, like, you know, it's really interesting narratively to have, like, a character, like, to, like, be taking your viewers on what is supposedly a love story.
Yeah.
That, like, you're not really rooting for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, like, the finale in the first season, you're very much just like, oh, no.
Oh, I know. Like, when she goes off with fucking Josh, I'm like, no. Yeah. Not, no. Like, but it's like, in the show, like, in the context of the show, it's like this big romantic moment and, like, this huge, like, you feel like the buildup has been leading there all season, but instead you're just like, no.
Yeah, but it also makes narrative sense for Rebecca. It's just really funny. Mm-hmm. And then it's just really funny when she's just like, oh my god, this is just, it just feels so right. Like, I moved here for you and everything. And then he's just like, which is funny because that's why it ties into how I feel about the finale, is because, like, the way that it is we go from the very beginning of her moving from West Covina and her moving to West Covina. And the whole reason she does that is because she puts this she puts this significant emotion of happiness and being happy onto Josh. It's because of, like, where she was in that particular state in her life, and she hadn't experienced that. It seems like every time she experiences happiness or whatever, it's because she's in a relationship, and I think it's because she gets to maybe express herself or something like that. Like, I don't know if it was the same thing.
Like, a lot of projection.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's all of a sudden able to, like, project all of her insecurities onto, like, somebody else and, like, feel validated for, like, I don't know, for being quote-unquote crazy. Like, she's, like, the whole thesis of the show, basically, like, especially season one, is, like, okay, I'm acting like an insane person, but if Josh and I end up together, it's all been worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that seems to be the thesis. Like, that seems to be her mindset. And especially, like, being egged on by Paula.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's exactly what Paula is telling her the whole time. She's like, yeah, 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 this is all insane. But, like, you and Josh are meant to be together, so it's fine. Like, it's fine that we've, like, destroyed Valencia's life. Like,
yeah, this, like, is just all a part of your crazy love story.
Yeah, and it's like, no, it's not fine.
It is very true. It really toes that line between, like, how much you'll give yourself an exception for if it gets you to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is very much how she feels at the end of season three, beginning of season four, which is all, like, I have to accept responsibility for my actions and blah, blah, blah. Which was that whole reason of why she was going to jail. Which was really funny because, like, those women, when she was just like, I'm in jail because I'm crazy and I'm accepting responsibility for my actions. And they're just like, I've done actual bad things. That is why I'm here. We're not the same person.
Yeah.
And that was, like, their whole...
It was so funny.
I know, when she was trying to do the cell block tango thing, and they're just all like, I killed a man, and she's just like, I almost did. I pushed him off a building to save a boy. And I'm like, honestly, that whole thing was such a... That's, like, the craziest thing within the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend storyline, is her having to, like, push Trent off of a building to save someone else because he was actually crazy.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I'm like, low-key, yeah. I feel like they were meant for each other because they're both crazy.
I was going to say, I do want to talk about Trent, because he's a really interesting parallel to Rebecca's character, and, like, at certain points, I'm not sure if, like, they're saying, like, yeah, Rebecca is crazy because look at this other person who's doing the same thing that she is, and he's crazy. But, like, you know, we're supposed to root for Rebecca, and Trent is, like, fully a villain.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, like, the whole, like, about to kill Nathaniel thing is, like, crossing the line. But I was like, do it. Kill Nathaniel.
I know. I was, like, low-key waiting for it to happen just because I'm like, are we gonna go there? It was very much a, is she gonna jump from there type moment?
Yeah, that would have been great. I would have loved to see Nathaniel die.
Just to see what that would have done for the storyline. It's like all of her love interests just like, move away, die, has, like, becomes a priest. Like, that would have been really funny if that would have been all of them.
Yeah.
I really wish they would have gone there. Like, Degrassi goes there. But, you know, they couldn't give up these actors. Like, which is understandable, because I'm like, who wants to give away these really good actors once you have them?
Well, they gave up Santino.
No, he wanted to leave. That was his whole thing. He was like, I gotta go.
Yeah, it was funny, because I watched, like, a little bit into season two in my rewatch, and... it happens so suddenly with Greg moving away. Like, there's all little, like, hint with, like, him and Rebecca. Oh, maybe they'll get back together. And then all of a sudden his dad is like, you're somebody, go to Atlanta. He's like, okay.
He's like, go away. Time for you to go away.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a hot take. I really like Skylar Astin as Greg.
I do, too. I honestly prefer it, almost.
I didn't know if I preferred it. I think the only thing that he was missing was he was too, like, cute. Like, mm-hmm. He was missing that, like, curmudgeon-iness that Santino brought to the role. Like, he was...
I know, but it's an interesting, like, juxtaposition, because I'm like, if you think about it, if you think about the friend group of, Josh and all of them.
Yeah.
It's like, Greg was the ugly one. He was the Duff. Yeah. He was their Duff. And if you replace him...
He was their Duff.
But if you...
by Mae Whitman.
Yeah. So... that would have been really funny if I was played by Mae Whitman, and then they just suddenly switch it to a completely different person later on.
Oh, it's been so good.
I want to go back and re-edit the whole series now.
And it's Mae Whitman.
I'll be interesting to see how I do her for the song and dance numbers. I'll just edit her face onto him in every scene.
Love it.
Mae, you've never looked taller. So, I think it's really funny if you replace him with Skylar Astin, because I'm like... It makes it make sense now. It's just like, oh, they were all attractive, but why Greg wasn't popular is because of how curmudgeon he was. They were like, people couldn't really stand to be around him, except his friends, and they were like, dude, we love Greg. It's just Greg.
Yeah.
Like, Josh, he's just like, no, that's just Greg. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna fucking help you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, when he was trying to get them all, like, he made them all do that ultimatum thing.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't take it anymore, but he was also just like, I can't take it, but I'm also super invested in the story. He couldn't. And honestly, that's the gayest Josh has ever been on the entire show. In that instance, not even fucking Daryl. It's like, that somehow was, like, manlier than him being really into the drama.
I love White Josh. I think he's my favorite out of the, like, other friend group. Because I think it's interesting that, like, there's the Josh friend group, and then once, like, Rebecca starts to form this, like, girl group, there's, like, them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's, like, the two groups, kind of.
Yeah.
Which I, like, always wanted them. I was like, oh, I always wanted them to do a musical number where it was, like, the boy group and the girl group. I thought that would have been really cute.
That was the only... That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Because there was four and four. There was Josh, White Josh, Hector, and Greg. And then there was Heather, Paula, Rebecca, and Valencia. I thought that would have been cute if they had done, like, a... I don't know, almost like a, maybe like a West Side Story
type thing. Yeah. They could have. I think that's really interesting that I feel like that's one of the only, you know, musicals they haven't, or like one of the only classical musicals they haven't given a nod to or so.
Yeah, that's actually a good, did they ever, I don't think they did.
Yeah, because they did Mamma Mia with the first penis I saw.
Well, that was ABBA.
Yeah.
Just in general, so, yeah.
Which we all know ABBA is only Mamma Mia.
How dare you?
Well, I always just think, the funny thing about ABBA is I always think about the Mamma Mia soundtrack, and I think about how literally almost the entire thing is just the Voulez-Vous album. It's pretty much just that whole album, and then a couple of other random ones.
Yeah.
From, like, Super Trooper and, like, another random one. I think it's Waterloo, another random one.
Yeah, I mean, that was their hit.
Yeah, it's just funny that they do that. Most of their hits. They do that whole album and then a couple of other random ones, and they're like, we've got all of their hits together.
I still have not seen Mamma Mia, too. I should
get know. I mean, it's just going to be the first one all over again, basically. But
yeah, that's why it's called Mamma Mia 2 all over again, or whatever the...
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
It's true. They really tell you exactly what you're getting.
Oh, they absolutely did. They're like, we know you just want the same exact thing again. Here it is, except there's no Meryl Streep, but we added Cher, so it's fine.
We balanced it out.
All right, everyone, Cher is here.
I think they were really just looking for someone who had the exact same resume. They're like, who's of the exact same caliber as Meryl Streep? Cher, obviously.
They do not have the same resume. They're on the same caliber. Yeah.
They probably have to pay exactly the same amount.
That's probably true. You think? That's actually a really good question.
Who is paid more, Cher or Meryl Streep?
I feel like Cher. I'm gonna say Cher. They true. Have to pay her more.
That's true. And she might do exactly less work.
Yeah.
And yet she'll be fun, so you'll like, she'll somehow finesse it so you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
She's like, I've done less work, but I'm super great and everyone loves me. And they're like, I love Cher. It's like, didn't she just walk through the room and left? Literally grabs the bag and she's just like, I love you guys, and then walks out.
I love you guys, ho.
Ah, love Cher. She was here for 5 minutes.
Remember when Cher was here for 30 seconds? That was amazing.
But anyway, back to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Anyway. I honestly got lost in that tangent, but...
we were talking about how they never did West Side Story.
It's true. No, but it was making me think about what I was talking about with the finale, but basically why I was trying to go back to the beginning is because of the way that they take the story and they take it from her being about happiness and, like, equating it to her love life, and they put so much emphasis on that, And then for them to, they do that shift in season two where Rebecca almost has a breakthrough where she's just like, I don't think any of this is because of Josh or any emotional, like, relationship shit. I think this goes deeper. And, you know, Dr. Kopian was just like, oh my God, clear my afternoon. I'm about to have the biggest breakthrough of my life.
I love Dr. Kopian.
I know, she's literally, she's like my favorite character, I think, out of all of the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love Rebecca just because of, honestly, Rebecca gives you everything that you would ever ask for. She is a messy bitch who doesn't per se live for drama, but creates all of the drama.
Yeah.
So absolutely. As someone who lives for the drama, it's perfect.
I also love that Dr. Kopian is like one of the, I love her musical numbers. Like, she's one of the best musical number. Like, every time she does one, it's amazing. And I love that they allowed the therapist character to be one of the musical characters.
True. Well, she only she did Dream Ghosts, and wasn't the second one someone else? Or was it her? I can't remember.
I feel like she was in a few. Yeah, she was in she did the Dream Ghost. She did the one, I think, in season four where they're talking about medication. It's like antidepressants are so not a big deal or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they go out dancing on the street. And I think she's in another one.
And then they go out dancing in the street. Which they've only done a few, like, dancing in the street numbers. I think they only did, like, 4 or 5. Because there was that one they did with the Christmas. Or the...
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
That was so weird because it's like, no, this is what Christmas in California is like. It's, like, literally sunny, but it's Christmas time. And I'm like, wow, what a concept.
I know, the dream. Like, fuck snow.
Really? People who like snow must like Inconvenience, because that's really what it is.
Yeah, I know. I love talking to people about snow, and they're like, oh, I just love to, like, curl up in my house and, like, blah. And I'm like, you must have never had depression.
It's true, because it's, like, every other night for me.
I know. I'm like, that's just a day for me. Fuck off.
How do they spend their days?
What I was going to say about your, like, Rebecca's kind of, like, breakthrough and, like, kind of feeling like, oh, it's not about Josh and whatever. That, the scene where they, in the first season, when they go on the beach, quote-unquote beach trip, where she rents a party bus,
mm-hmm.
and they never actually go to the beach, yeah. but they're on the bus the whole time.
Get stuck in traffic.
And, and Valencia, like...
Remember when Heather and, remember when Heather and Greg dated?
Yeah, we'll talk about that, we'll get to that. we're gonna get to all the relationships. But, and, like, Valencia confronts her and is like, why did you move here, blah, blah. And she kind of gives this whole speech about how, like, she saw Josh and it, like, sparked something inside of her. And he talked about how happy he was in West Covina and how amazing it was. And she just, like, all of a sudden was like, oh, my God, happiness. Like, I haven't even thought about that in so long. And when I was rewatching that scene, I was like, I feel like this is more true. Like, she thinks she's lying in that moment because she's, like, not talking about how she moved there for Josh. But I feel like she's actually telling the truth in that scene.
Oh, yeah, like, she's 100% telling the truth. She's just like, I didn't move here for him per se. I moved here because I like him, and he was very influential in this, like, especially, because I always think back to how the series starts, because they really start with that very pivotal moment in her life. It's literally that summer where she was in musical theater, and it was just like, she found herself with musical theater. She was just like, I love this. This is literally my life. Yeah. And then also, she had that relationship with Josh, and he was, like, her first love, so that was, like... It was two big moments happening at the same time. And for her, they got, like, intermingled. So she didn't know how, like, which was which.
Yeah.
And I think because she was so happy in that one particular instance, that's why the series ends up the way that it does. But that particular instant or moment where she was doing that confessional that you were talking about, that's also like when she had that realization, when she was like in New York, she saw him, and then she also saw that weird butter campaign ad, which I love.
Oh, yeah,
that.
The butter campaign.
She was just like, what a weird ad. Also, so good, I think they carried that out throughout the series. I think they did it like two other times.
Oh, the butter ad comes back, I feel like, a bunch of times.
Yeah, because I think Paula has a moment with the butter ad, too.
Yeah, and then the scene where she's on the plane and she takes all the pills.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that I saw somewhere that the flight attendant who comes over to her is, like, the voice of the butter ad campaign. She's, like, the woman that they got to, like, voice the ads.
Wow, keeping it all together.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. And actually, one of my favorite things about the show is the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, I feel like, oh, there were so many moments. I should have written them down, because I feel like there were a bunch of moments that I was like, oh, that was such a good, like, nod back to another moment. And I feel like they were really, really good at keeping very consistent with certain details that, like, really, I don't know, if you, like, I guess if you weren't, like, really watching, you wouldn't even notice, but it was, like, very well done.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah, that's the thing about this show. That's why I've always liked this show so much. They keep everything so, like, they keep a lot of things very cyclical. They keep with continuity. They really, they handle everything with such care that was, like, I feel like a lot of shows don't do, per se.
Yeah.
Especially since I've started watching the newest season of Supernatural, since it's on Netflix. So I started watching that yesterday, and
boy,
I was just like, this show is so far beyond what it initially started as. And I'm it is crazy to think about, like, from season one to where they're at now with season 14. I mean, obviously they're not going to be this exact same thing, but to be where they are right now, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, never would have saw that coming, but all right.
Well, they're still doing the whole, like, God storyline, right?
Basically, the way that it is now is angels are not, they're not, like, bad guys, but they're, like, basically, like, demons. They're not great, but they're also assholes.
Gotcha.
They won't bother you as much as demons will, but they're not great, and they're also stronger than demons. And now their whole big bad for this season is the Archangel Michael.
Oh, yeah, sure.
From a parallel world. Because he was an asshole there.
God, I love it.
I know, they did, like, a whole parallel...
on the wall.
They did a whole parallel universe thing. It was so funny. And also, Lucifer had a child.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So he's, like, a Nephilim because he's half human, half angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's super powerful. But he's dying.
You need to stop, because I'm going to show up stopping.
It's, like, so ridiculous. Like, I just got to the point where, like, they had killed Lucifer, but the man that Lucifer was inside was still alive. And because Lucifer had been in him for so long, he has basically now become, like, a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
And, he was, like, crying and, like, praying to Lucifer, talking about, like, I miss you. You were so, like, you made my life so great. Or some bullshit like that. And then Lucifer, who is supposed to be dead, woke up in, like, this black abyss and is just like, I'm alive again. And I'm like, there are no consequences on this show. Nothing means anything.
That sounds really gay. And also, I feel like they share a huffing closet with the Riverdale writers.
They really do. Honestly, there was a moment where I wanted Sam and Lucifer's host, who wasn't Lucifer anymore, I wanted them to have, like, a moment, because they seemed like they were having a moment, and I was just like, this is interesting.
No one will ever be gay on that show, Chad, let it go.
I know, but fan fiction is out there. And
nobody will ever be canonically gay on Supernatural is fine.
It's true. But Supernatural does have great fan fiction.
Yeah.
Because everyone's sexually frustrated at no one being gay. So they have to, like, go out and write it.
Yeah. Except for there was that one episode where somehow they became, like, Sam and Dean in the world of their show became, like, a phenomenon, right? And then they went to a convention.
Oh, yeah, and those two dudes were gay.
Yeah, and there was the couple who was cosplaying as them, which I was like, love whoever wrote this. This is amazing.
That was a great episode. They really gave us... That was a great fan service episode.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do fan service, do something like that.
That was, yeah, that was pretty great. Because it was, like, they, like, did the whole episode, and they were, like, helping them out. And then at the end, they're just like, oh, y'all are together. Okay.
They're like, bye!
Anyway, not talking about
Supernatural.
That CW show. We are talking about another better CW show.
Which somehow came to an end within the span of Supernatural being on the air.
Oh, yeah.
It started ended before that show even ended.
I love it. So many shows have come and gone in the span of Supernatural being on the air.
It's true. They're like, we're the OGs, but now they're the next season is the last season. I can't believe it.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. Wow. Season 15. I can't believe it.
End of an era. Season 85. I'm pretty sure I had read somewhere that Rachel said that she had wanted it to be four seasons.
Yes.
Like, they had planned it out.
Which is interesting, because I'm like, for her to know that she wanted this exact ending for four seasons, yeah, is interesting to see how this series progresses. Because I think it naturally progresses very well, and I think it's because she knew exactly where she wanted it to end.
Yeah.
So, that's great. I'm glad that they gave her the exact four seasons that she needed to end the show.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, just like what you were talking about, where, like, we start with her being at musical theater camp, and, like, she, you know, in her mind, she thinks, oh, it was Josh that was making me feel this way, but no, it was musical theater camp.
Yeah.
Because, they really set up the end straight from the beginning. Like, they tell you right at the beginning, you know, she's talking about her solo and how amazing she felt and blah, blah, blah. And then when she runs into Josh again, he says something like, oh, you never came back to camp. And she's like, oh, yeah, my mom made me do mock trial and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah. And she kind of, like, it's, like, a very throwaway line of, like, oh, we haven't seen each other. But it's also, like, it completely sets up the whole thing. It's, like, she was happy at this one instance. And then for other reasons, she chose another path and now is not happy. And that's, like, the whole, it, like, completely sets up the entire thesis of the show.
Yeah.
It's
like a forked path type thing.
Yeah.
So,
and like,
the whole reason, you know, I feel like Josh was a reason why she did mock trial too. Like, I feel like she was the reason why she,
because he broke up with her, you mean? Like, the,
yeah, but also, like, you remember in the very beginning, she said of how she got to a musical theater camp was literally because she faked being mentally ill, basically. She was just like, but it seems like, that also seems like a throwaway line, but I'm like, I don't even know if she, like, faked it. She was just like, I was having a phone call with my dad, and I told him I was having suicidal thoughts, so they let me come to musical theater camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it also seems like such a throwaway line, but I think that also, like, attributes to the fact that she was unhappy doing whatever else her mom was trying to make her do.
Yeah.
Because everything her mom forced her to do made her unhappy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because it just made me think about, like, the whole, like, thesis of BoJack Horseman, where they're all like, your parents' problems are your problems or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and they really get into, like, her relationship with her mom in a good way, too. Like, they really, like, make it evident as to why she felt like she could never disappoint her mom, or like never, like always have to kind of do what her mom, besides her mom just being like a controlling person.
Yeah.
You know, like their whole relationship and the dad and everything, like it's just really set up well. You know, like you really understand.
Yeah.
Why she did the things that she did and how she ended up unhappy. I feel like as far as like, I don't know, they don't set it up and they're like, oh, she was just unhappy, and then blah, 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 some other stuff happened. Like, you really, like, I feel like you really understand from her childhood to now, like, how she ended up doing the things that she did.
Yeah. Like, her having this dissection of, basically just a dissection of her life, figuring and learning exactly why she was the way that she was. She wasn't just a crazy ex-girlfriend. She is a sum of, you know, a lot of instances in her life. And her dad was literally the fucking worst. Because I'm like, who does some shit like that? And that was just so fucked up. Like, especially when she, like, you know, kind of tried to have the relationship with the brother in season four. I'm like, he didn't do anything wrong. And I understand her trying to have a relationship with him, which was, like, weird in and of itself. Just because I'm like, they seem to have, like, a very strange, like, rapport to, like, basically be strangers.
Yeah.
That was, like, my only thing with that, is I'm just like, I don't have a problem with you guys, like, trying to do that, but I'm like, maybe she should have had, like, a little bit of a, like, a few more interactions with him beforehand, but it was just very, it was very left field, if you will.
There were a couple of things in season four that I felt like they were just kind of like, they were like, okay, we have these ideas for these plot lines, and like they knew that they wanted to end it that season, so they were like, let's just kind of drop these in here and there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't, like, I felt like it wasn't necessarily bad writing or anything, but it was just kind of like, okay, we kind of want to like put this in there, and we kind of want to put that in there, and like there were just a few things. Like that fucking plot where Valencia and Father Bra like had a romance, and I was like, why are we doing this now?
That was so random. I feel okay, so what I think it really was like, I don't think this season initially had 18 episodes. I think it I think it had 13 before, and then they gave them 18, because I think the first season is the only other one that's 18. Because I think season 2 and 3 are 13, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting, is I'm like, the two bookend seasons are the longest. And I think with that, that's why they dropped in those random things. But the whole, like, relationship with Valencia and Father Bra, I thought was interesting. Just because I'm like, he was like, they were like, I really wish we could have, like, gotten together. And he was just like, yeah, but I'm a priest now. And I'm just like, but in my mind, I was just like, but are like, you're a priest, but you're, like, almost not a priest, because you're, like, too chill. Like, you don't seem very, like, priest-like. And, I mean, that's fine. Like, you know, not all priests are like that. But he seemed just, like, too chill to be a priest, and I'm like, maybe you should, like, not.
That's a whole character.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe you should just, like, not be a priest. You should go do something else.
That would have been interesting if they had given him, like, something else
to do.
But
okay, like, but well, to cap what I was saying about this, I feel like this has been a long a roundabout way of explaining like how I felt about the finale, but all those things put together, the only issue I really had with the finale was that we spent so much time dealing with her relationships, kind of low-key knowing that none of that had to, like, her relationships had nothing to do with her happiness or anything like that. Well off knowing that.
Yeah.
We were just so invested in it, and, I mean, for them to, like, kind of drop it in most of season four and then pick it back up again almost towards the end was, like, low-key annoying, because I was, like, I feel like we were, like, once we got to the episode, like, Nathaniel's irrelevant, we were like, okay, so we've gotten to the point that we realized that the men are not the problem. Like, they have nothing to do with this. And I'm like, great, cool. once we were away with that and she was, like, trying to figure out her shit and, like, get her life together, I was just like, great. I'm, like, really happy for you, like, when she was making progress with the relationship, like, figuring out, like, oh, I am capable of love, I can be loved and stuff like that. It just, like, I just need to be in a well-off place where I can be in a relationship with someone else. And I'm like, great, I'm glad that we're making this progress. And then the whole relationship bullshit came back in, and I was just like, okay. And then when they put so much emphasis on it, I'm like, okay, so we're rooting for it, right? And then at the end, they're like, no, so that had nothing to do with it either. And then she's just like, so I'm glad you're all here, I'm gonna do a musical thing. And then it ended, and I was just like, okay, so we get to see none of Rebecca doing actual musical numbers not that aren't in her head. That's what I was annoyed with. I was just like, are you serious?
Well, I kind of feel it. Like, I agree with you. But I also feel like the show had to end there. Like, I feel like it had to be that every number was in her head right up until, like, you know, once we, like, narratively, once the music was out of her head, that's where it had to end. Does that make sense?
I guess.
I
understand it and I accept that. I'm just, like, annoyed that we didn't get to see her do a musical number that was outside of her head or something.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe they should have ended it with just one song. But I don't know.
I thought she was going to do, like, either a West Coast Vina reprise or, like, a reprise of, like, the very, very first song they did, which was, I don't even know what the song is called, but, you know, the I'm in love with a wonderful guy. I thought she was going to do, like, a reprise of something like that.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, no, that other song, because there was that other song, the one indescribable instant or whatever.
That was actually really funny.
Like, that was actually canonically from something within the show.
Yeah, that it was from, like, a musical within the show, but I think she made that song up, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. No, that's not a real...
And the weird thing is it sounds like it might be from something else. You're just like...
Yeah, doesn't it? It really sounds like...
Is that from something?
I know, the whole show, but it's not.
Makes you feel crazy.
Does. No, I just feel like the first, you know, like West Covina is the first musical number, and it's like the whole thesis of the show, and it's like I feel like it's like, okay, this is the first time she's like experiencing this and doing this sort of like I'm making up a musical number in my head, like, sort of a thing. Yeah. So that's the first time. And then when we reach the end, it's kind of the last, because the music is out of her head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
She was putting together all of these numbers, and basically what she was about to perform was everything that we had already seen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, because in the scene where she's talking to Paula, where she tells Paula... like, oh, I make up these numbers in my head, Paula's like, write them down.
Yeah.
She's like, why don't you ever write them down? And Rebecca's like, oh. So what I assumed was that she was writing down, like, what she was composing was everything that we've been watching the past four seasons.
And then can you imagine her just being like, all right, now I'm about to play you all some of the songs of... literally the last couple of years of my life. And it's just like, so Josh, this is like when we were together, like when we got back together. We'll never have problems. Like,
I would have loved if it was like a whole scene of her being like, okay, now Heather, remember?
Now that's really what I wanted to see.
Greg, remember when you were in night school and here's a song I wrote about you being in night school.
This is the song I wrote right after I broke my window and everyone had found out. You've ruined everything.
That would have been so good.
Now that's a show I would pay to see. Someone literally air out their dirty laundry in songs.
I love it.
But at the same time, I was just like, what if they did a spinoff where it's about Rebecca being in musical theater or doing musical theater-y things, and it starts where that ended? And it had nothing to do with, like, relationships and whatnot. It's just, like, her adventures doing things. I mean, they'll throw relationship shit in there, but it's not as important. It'll be as tertiary as it is in other shows.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I mean, I don't think she's going to do that, but I'm interested in seeing what Rebecca Bloom does, like, after this. Like, if it Rachel. Will be something else. Musical relationship? Yeah, what did I say? Rebecca. Rebecca Bloom.
Rebecca Bloom.
I'm interested to see what Rachel Bloom does outside of this.
Yeah, I definitely am. I was just thinking of who I would most like to see a spinoff about. Like, if Crazy Ex-Girlfriend were to have a spinoff, like, who would I most want to watch a whole show about? If it were, like, a different character.
Hmm, good question. And Heather.
What?
I said Heather.
Probably Heather, but she has to divorce Hector first.
I think that would be very, very interesting. It's Heather, she divorces Hector, and they're still friends. And it's, like, really weird. It's just, like, she's, like, best friends with her ex-husband. And you're just like, this is weird.
Oh my god, it could be called Crazy Ex-Husband.
Yeah. Love
this
it.
This is so good. And it's, like, Heather trying to date again, but, like, all of her boyfriends are like, why is your ex-husband just hanging out at your house?
Oh, he lives here.
Oh, we still live together.
He's my roommate and best friend.
And ex-husband. Oh, I love it.
Now that's an... Actually, that sounds like a good NBC sitcom.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. But if it was on NBC, there would be a lot of, like... Will they get back together?
I think that's, like, the only... I think that's what's next for the CW, is they're gonna start doing half hours. Like, they haven't gotten to that point yet, because they're, like, everything they do is, like, an hour long, which is fine. Yeah. I'm okay with, like, everything filling that hour-long block. Honestly, yeah. I'm waiting for Dynasty to end so that that can be put on Netflix.
Oh, true.
I need to catch up on season two. I haven't watched season two. Let's do that. We should really do a Dynasty episode. That'll be fun.
Didn't one of the gays leave?
I think so. So I'm very interested to see what's going on the show now.
Ugh, rip.
Yeah. But the thing is I think it still has a full series order, or like season order. So I'm like interested to know how they're making everything go. How they're making it all go.
Sometimes I wish that people could see the hand movements you do.
Just imagine someone doing, like, isn't that, like, the disco rolling thing where you, like, move your hands around? You're like, woo, I'm about to boogie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was doing
that. Imagine you're knitting, but, like, very fast. yeah, that would be interesting to, see a half hour on the CW.
Yeah.
I feel like they would start doing half hour dramas.
I would be very interested to see what that would look like. Because I'm imagining something like The Fosters, but it's like only half an hour. It's like, how do you shove that much drama into 23 minutes?
Oh, they would do it.
They would do it.
If anybody can do it, it's the CW.
It literally feels like a shot to the Cerebella.
Yeah. It's just like 8-second scenes.
Do you want to feel like you're on a roller coaster that's going a million miles per hour?
I would love it. I would watch. I would definitely watch.
But it also has, like, weird supernatural elements.
What?
But it also has weird supernatural elements.
Oh, yeah, let's pitch our demon script to them.
Okay.
That we never wrote.
Yeah, love. I was just like, I don't remember what that is. That's why I was just like, okay.
It was something we came up with on this show and then never wrote down.
Oh, love it. That sounds exactly like us. I love being on brand.
Yep. On brand.
So, since we've come to the end of, like, how we feel about the series as a whole, let's talk about how we feel about all the relationships. And since we really don't do this segment as often as we would like, let's do it. Do we ship it?
Again, like, I really wish people could see you when you're doing these things. Because it feels like you feel like you're being recorded. So you have to be kind of, like, gimmicky. But you don't. You're just talking.
I live every moment as if I am on camera.
True. That's the gay agenda.
I mean, aren't we all being watched? Aren't we being watched by some FBI agent right now?
Hey!
Hey, what's up? My name's Coral.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I love Coachella. So, do we ship this? First of all... Let's just start at the very beginning. Let's just go through all of the relationships. It's fun. Yeah. It'll be quick. It'll be like a little quick checklist. So, let's see.
It'll be like a lightning round of Dewey shit.
Exactly. Toot it or boot it. We'll just toot it or boot it.
Honestly, I'm really trying to think of who I do ship.
See, this will be a that's why this will be a fun game. So, Valencia and Josh.
Yeah.
Boot.
Sorry, I forgot the game. Wait, what's the other option?
Toot.
What does that mean?
You got like toot toot.
That's in approval?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, well, I'm just gonna... Okay, boot. Boot, Valencia is a lesbian. Thanks for coming.
That was such a left field thing.
No, it wasn't, because she hates Josh so much.
It's true.
Like, if you go, it's classic, I mean, it's compulsory heterosexuality to an extreme, but it is that. Like, that is how I feel about Valencia in all the first three seasons. I'm like, you are just, and she, I think a little similarly to Rebecca, is very wrapped up in, like, ideals and, like, you know, because she says, like, 1,000 times, especially in, like, the first season, she's like, I love weddings.
Yeah.
Which is how she, like, ends up party planning. But it's also, I feel like, such a big part of her character that she is, like, so invested in, like, what she's supposed to have, or, like, that she, like, just kind of clings to Josh in this way.
Yeah. I get it.
Anyway.
Honestly, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Well, but I was just thinking about, like, her and Father Bra. Like, what if they would have ended up together? So, Valencia and Father Bra.
No. Super boot, no.
Soft toot, just because I want to see what it would have looked like.
I mean, they're both hot. That doesn't mean they're, like, a good couple.
I just wanted to see Father Bra with someone else, and... and it's because he was married to God that I never got to see it.
Yeah. I don't care about Father Bra. I mean, he's a great character, but I don't care about him being in a relationship.
How about a good crack ship? Father Bra and White Josh.
Love it. Toot.
So, I guess Valencia's last relationship, which was Valencia and... I forget what her name is.
Beth.
She had such a random name.
Yeah.
Good old Bethany.
Yeah. No, I liked her. I thought she was a good character.
I like that comedian, because I had watched a stand-up special with her already, so I already kind of like her. So when I had seen her on there, I was just like, oh my god, I just watched you in a comedy special.
Yeah, she's very funny.
Yes, so too, love that. Love that for her. Dude. Love lesbianism for Valencia. Okay, so Heather and Greg.
Well...
Boot.
I don't... Yeah, boot, ultimately, but also on, like, rewatching it really made sense.
Like, it makes sense because their personalities mesh, because he doesn't like things, and she's also just, like, very indifferent about most things.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh, this makes sense because I feel very similar. I feel like I'm the most similar to Heather as a character, like, just in personality.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I could see myself, like, falling for a guy like Greg, just because of, like, him being, like, all, like, meh, meh, and me being like, yeah, great, me too, but then ultimately it not working out.
It's the Hyde appeal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I get. So, I mean, again, boot, because at the end, when it's like when she grows up, she realizes that she's, like, not, like, that. She's like, I pretend to not care about things, but I care.
Yeah.
And she's just like, maybe I should stop being so rebellious teen and grow up.
I'm a student.
And then she gets, like, an actual, she gets, like, a fucking actual job. They're just like, we love you. And she's just like, okay. She was, like, very taken aback by that.
I love it. Again, I relate very strongly to Heather.
So, the relationship I love the most is Heather and growing up, Toot.
Yes. Very, very much Toot.
Our top Toot of the week.
God. Who's next?
What's I don't know. Next? Who else is that? Oh, Heather and Hector. Boot.
Boring.
It seems that like she does too much taking care of him, and that's what annoys me.
I know, and then they even had an episode where they addressed it, and it did nothing, and I was like, this is gross.
Yeah.
And to me, it really felt like, oh, we have these two side characters, let's put them together.
Yeah.
They're both, like, brown and heterosexual, let's just... Here you go, guys.
For a second, it made sense. It made sense of them dating. That made sense. Them getting married. No.
Yeah.
Dating, though, made sense just because, like, they were in close proximity and they had similar-ish interests. It seemed like one of those things where it's like you spend enough time with someone and you kind of like each other. You're just like, yeah, we're dating. You're like, I don't really know where it's going, but, you know, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting for, like, them to, like, I don't know. Like, have them get married and stuff. I don't know.
Eh.
Yeah.
Anyway, boot. Whatever. For me. It's a boot for me.
Don't care. Yeah.
I don't think she had any other relationship other than that.
Heather? No.
Anyway. Swiping on. Well, Paula is forever with her husband, but do we toot that relationship? I mean, I toot it.
I toot it in the later seasons.
I think that it's dealt with in a way where you really understand it. Because, I mean, Paula is, like, vicariously living through a lot of Rebecca and because of that, it's kind of, like, a lot of projection type shit. Because she's also unhappy. Yeah. So, I mean, once her husband had that, like, affair, low-key affair, and then she almost had one, and then Rebecca's like, don't do it, you'll regret it. And I'm like, I was like a little annoyed because I'm just like, well, the husband had a fucking affair.
I know. But you don't know that at that point, right?
Yeah, I think he had, like, she was going to have one first and then didn't, and then he had one.
Yeah.
And it's really one of those things where, especially if... In that situation, if it were you, and you're just like, hey, I could have cheated and I didn't, and then you could have and did. You're an asshole. I was loyal. So you get to have, like, the moral high ground, even though you were, like, almost about to do it. You're just like, I didn't at the last second, but I could have.
And I only didn't because Rebecca stopped me.
Basically. So you get the moral high ground with that, but...
Yeah. I do like seeing Paula as a flawed character.
Yeah, I give her a toot, but she's a problematic toot.
Paula, on rewatch, I was like, I think Paula is my favorite character. Like, the actress is just so good.
Oh, and, like, she's amazing.
She is so funny. Like, she is definitely the funniest person on the show. The actress is, like, the funniest actor on the show. And she just, like... She really is that stereotype of, like, ooh, the wise friend who doesn't have a love life of her own, but, like, is going to give you all this advice and, like, blah, blah, blah.
And then you find out they're fucked up.
And she's, she's, like, also really flawed. So,
I would love to see that actress on something like Veep.
Oh, my God, right? Which is ending. But if she could get her own... If she could get her own Veep-style show, I think she'd be amazing. Where she could, like, say shit like cunt liquor and, like, get away with it. Like, I think she would be amazing.
Where she's a lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah, I ship Paula and law school. That's what I ship.
Honestly, I would love to see a, like, lawyer spinoff of Paula, where she works at a firm, and it's, like, in the style of something like Veep.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't really want to... I don't know. I would just want to see that actress, I think, on something else.
True.
Not as Paula anymore. Just as, like, another, like, kind of a different character. Like, a more flawed character. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Daryl and White Josh.
Toot.
I also toot.
Yeah. And when I was, again, like, when I was rewatching, I was like, oh, I really like them together. Like, when I think when, like, I first watched the show, I was like, they're kind of an odd couple.
Yeah.
And it, to me, like, a little bit felt like, oh, we just have these two gay, well, not gay, but, like, LGBT characters, and so we're just going to put them together.
Yeah.
But when I was rewatching it, I was like, no, you know what? They're a really good couple. And they actually set up their relationship very nicely with Daryl. You know, because it's not... It kind of is the trope of putting the two LGBT characters together. But because they tie in Daryl's coming out storyline with it,
yeah,
I feel like it kind of makes it more quality.
Yeah, I also agree. But yeah. The funny thing is I just, like, I got annoyed when they didn't get them back together because it seems like they were pushing it so much, and then they were just like, no. And I'm like, I feel like they didn't just because it was expected of them to do. And it seems like with this show, anything that's your expectation, they don't do that. They do the opposite of every expectation. And I'm like, I'm like, that's the one instance where I was annoyed by it, because I'm like, everything else, I'm just like, I thought it was narratively for the better. That, I don't think narratively was for the better. I think it was just because.
Yep.
Especially since you had both of those characters still involved in the same capacity.
Yeah.
Than they would be if they were in a relationship, but they were just with other people. And I'm just like, so why?
Yeah, I agree. And, like...
Especially when, like, White Josh was basically starting to get over his issues with, you know, babies and whatnot, because he was basically taking care of the baby that one time.
Yeah, that was very interesting, because I was like, okay, the whole reason they broke up is, like, he didn't want kids, and I, like, you know, Daryl really wanted another kid or whatever. And I was like, I get that. I think that that's great. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have White Josh, like, compromise on his... you know, what he wanted out of life. Great, awesome. But then they had this whole storyline where they were still friends, and then White Josh is taking care of the baby, and I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, they were basically, they were, like, together every night, and then, like, together every night, taking care of the baby, being super domestic, and then he's just like, I need to push you out of the nest so you can move on because we're not together anymore. And I'm just like, you're basically together, so just be together. I don't understand what the fuck. Like, literally, the only reason why they weren't together is because they had in their mind that they weren't together. I'm like, the only you're literally doing all of the things. You're not as... White Josh was not as upset by having a child as he thought he would be. Daryl.
Yeah.
And then we're perfectly fine. I'm like, just be in the fucking relationship. Jesus Christ. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, because, like, the way that I thought it was going to end is, like, you know, like, White Josh didn't want kids, but, like, it wasn't his kid. It was Daryl's kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, I was like, okay, maybe, like, what they're going to do is have him realize, oh, I can be involved in this child's life. It doesn't have to be my child, but, like, I love this man, and he loves this child, so, like... It's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of all works that way. You know, kind of like when you, like, marry into a situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, they're not my kids, but I can still, like,
love exactly. them. It's like, you broke up for a little while, he had a baby, and you got back together. It's like, whatever.
Well, you know, just how every relationship goes.
Another thing they do on this show is, like, the passage of time. Like, I have no idea how long Rebecca has been in West Covey, but it seems like a long time.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Well, there's definitely a time jump at the end of season three because they wanted Heather to have the baby. And then obviously the finale skips a year ahead. And I think by the time we get to the finale, it's supposed to have been like 5 years since she moved there or something like that.
Really? It has to be longer because her and Nathaniel were doing that whole fucking thing for a while. They were doing that for like 8 months or something.
I don't know.
It's like, they're in like 2021 or something. They're in 2020 or 2021.
What I realized, it was funny, I realized again on my rewatch that in camp they're 16 and then the first episode is 10 years later and I'm like, so wait, all of these characters are supposed to be 26?
Right.
Because I definitely thought they were all like 35.
That's the funniest part. You're like, they're in their 20s and I'm just like, are they? Look like they're in their 30s.
They definitely all look like they're in their 30s, except for like Hector, who looks 21.
Yeah. He looks like the youngest one. And even Heather, she looked like she was in her late 20s. Like mid to late 20s.
Well, Heather is supposed to be.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, Heather's supposed to be younger. She's supposed to be like 23.
Okay.
Yeah, she's supposed to be young. Because they talk a lot about how she's younger than Rebecca.
Yeah, and but then, hadn't she already been in, like, community college for a long time?
I think she says she's been in community college. There's, like, a throwaway joke about it where she says she's been there for, like, 6 years. But if you think about it, like, if you start when you're 18, you would be 24. So I think she's supposed to be around 23 or 24.
Yeah, but with the time skips and shit, she definitely ends up, like, 30 towards the end.
Oh, yeah, no. They're all older at the end, but, like, when it first starts out, she is supposed to be in her, like...
We need a linear map of, like, how, like, of the progression of time on this show. Am I gonna have to rewatch the whole thing and, like, write it down? Because I don't want to.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I want someone else to have done it.
Just tweet at Rachel Bloom. I'm sure she has something somewhere.
It's very true.
Or just, I'm sure somebody else on the internet has done it. Just
that's very true. Google is my friend.
Yep.
Anyway, so let's just get down to the what we really wanted to do with Let's just do the relationships of Rachel Bloom's character, Rebecca. See, this is why she shouldn't have named them so closely with our names.
I know.
This is very confusing. But anyway, so Rebecca and Josh. Boot. Great. I'm glad we're on the same page. Now, I would love to be dancing around with Vincent Rodriguez myself, but, you know.
Yes, he's very cute, but no.
Also, love the fact that the actor is gay in real life. Love that for him.
Yeah, he's the best.
Love that for the gay community.
Love that for him. Love that journey for him.
Love that gay representation of Asian people on television.
Absolutely. See, okay, now he can be in the other show as an actual gay man. The one that we're writing for Donald and Champlain.
Yeah, but he has to be like an assistant because he's dumb.
Oh, yeah.
I want him to be like gay and dumb. Because I like gay, dumb characters, honestly. They make me laugh.
He basically has to play Josh again, but gay.
And he doesn't have to be a bro. He doesn't have to be a bro. He can be, like, good at his job, but he can be, like, really stupid.
Yeah, he's her assistant. I love this. We're just gonna steal all the actors and put them in a different show.
Hey, it works. We already know it does. I have an entire show to prove it. Specifically the last season where Paula's like, I actually like Josh.
Yeah. Well, she always liked Josh.
Yeah, but then she hated him, and then she realized she actually likes him.
Yeah. That I thought was really interesting at the end when they were, like, the betting episode where goes on the three dates and they're all betting. I thought that was really interesting how they, like, Paula thought it was gonna be Josh, and Heather thought it was going to be Nathaniel. I was like, I don't know. I feel like it was kind of out of character for what they chose.
Well, kind of, but all of the way that they did it was interesting. It was because those characters were so opposed to her being with those people for them to have had these individual moments with them by themselves and realize that they all basically realize what Rebecca saw in them. She's just like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Because we had been seeing it through the lens of, like, Rebecca's relationship, but now being outside of it, I see why you were into them in the first place.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. So, Josh and Paula, friendship, too.
Oh, absolutely, too.
Rebecca and Nathaniel.
Boot.
Soft toot? I don't know. For some reason, like, them being together made sense to me, and I was just like, I get it.
I mean, it made sense for her to be with any of them. At certain points, it made sense, but, like...
Yeah, but her and Josh makes the least amount of sense to me.
No, because there's attraction...
Yeah, but they don't work.
From the beginning.
Yeah, but they don't work, and they've not worked multiple times. And the only reason why they worked before, like, recently is because they were, like, roommates and not romantic in any capacity.
Yeah, but you could argue that for any of the guys. Any of her relationships. They worked at a certain point, and then they also didn't work.
Yeah, but her and Nathaniel in a romantic relationship worked. He was just, like, a bad person and fed into her being bad. And then when he became a good person, I'm like... All right, so the one negative about why, like, he was bad in a relationship is, like, gone. So I'm like, he made the most sense on paper. You get what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. I will agree with you on that. He's definitely the on-paper guy.
Yeah, for a second shot at a relationship, he makes the most sense on paper. If you stack up everything. Greg, honestly, makes the least just because, like, she shat all over that. When she fucked the dad, it was like... Nope.
Yeah,
that was a Dunsky for that one. It's just like, once you fuck the dad, it's over. You can never, like, you can't go to Christmas, man. What are you supposed to do for holidays? You can never see him again. Because someone in the family will always be like, oh, that's the girlfriend he fucked, huh?
Someone's aunt is going to bring it up every time.
I'm the aunt.
Same.
It's like you see them walk away together. It's just like, oh, we're going to go get dessert. It's like, that's not the only thing he's getting, huh?
I think I just don't like Nathaniel. And I also, like, I enjoyed watching him, like, quote unquote, become a better person. Like, I think the actor is funny and he, like, you know, fit. But, like... I just didn't care as much. You know what I did love? And I don't know if I, like, necessarily ship them, but I loved the episode with him and Maya where they had that, like, rom-com.
Oh, yeah. I didn't ship them. I thought they were good friends, though.
That was just a very good episode. Like,
that was just, it was also, like, very weird. I didn't get narratively where we were going when I was watching the episode. I was just like, wait, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, like, when that started happening, I was just like, wait, what are we doing? And then where we ended up, I got it, but, like, watching it just linearly through, I was just very confused.
Oh, no, I enjoyed the ride. I was like, yes, this is my favorite thing. Calling out tropes blatantly is, like, one of my favorite things in the world. And, like just, like, really, really obvious, blatant parodies of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I liked, but other than that, I was, like, a little confused.
And for a second I was like, oh my god, are they actually gonna have these two, like, end up together randomly?
Yes! And that was why I was confused. I was just like, that would make zero sense. But sure. It would be one of those things where it's like, this is something that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's like, I'ma do it. And you're like, why? And they're like, I'ma do it.
I've already done it, so.
Okay, so Rebecca and...
So wait, Rebecca and Nathaniel is a soft shoot for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense to me. All right, so Rebecca and...
I mean, I agree with you. It's still a boot, though.
Okay. So Rebecca and Greg 1.0.
Oh, we're going to do Greg 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because he's in two different stages. And I think Rebecca and Greg 1.0, if he had stayed and they had worked through their issues, it might have been, it might be a completely different Rebecca. Now, she would not have ended up where she is in the end of the series, for sure. Right. But I think she might have been in a happy, well-adjusted relationship. But she would definitely be married with kids right now.
Yeah. I definitely feel like if I had wanted her to end up with anybody, it would have been Greg, for sure.
Yeah. Same.
But...
like, she has to. Like, especially in the very... like, when she went on the date with him, with Greg 2.0 at the end, and he said, "You know you're the love of my life, right?" I was just like, you literally can't pick anyone else. After he said that, you can't pick anyone else.
Yeah, and they also, like... that one, that episode was interesting, too, because it was like, oh, my God, I had this amazing date with Josh, and oh, my God, I had this amazing date with Nathaniel, and then she kind of has this non-date with Greg where, like, you kind of just feel like, all right, that's it, though, right? Like...
that's relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what you've been looking for.
Exactly. But,
yeah.
You weren't really looking to be swept off your feet. You were looking for, like, romance. And that was really a type of romantic thing where you could comfortably be yourself with someone else.
I wouldn't even say romance. Like, I would say love. Like, she's looking to be loved by somebody, and he... well, yeah. Or she's looking for, like, a real love, and that was it. So...
yeah.
That's how I feel about her and Greg.
Same.
So
I guess her and Greg all together. We only have to split it up in one version, one or two. But
I just really liked Skylar Astin.
I do too.
Greg. I thought he was great. Like I said, I think he is missing a little bit of the, like, grumpy Muppetness that Santino had.
Yeah.
But, like, that like was the character of Greg. Like, he's definitely, like, too cute. Like, I don't know, but.
That's why I said him playing Greg in the end made so much more sense, though, for him to be in that friend group, because that friend group was attractive. And the thing about Greg that made him unattractive was his personality. So I'm like, now it makes sense. I'm like, he always looked like that. He was just fucking Greg. So you're like, ah, get it.
It was fucking Greg. Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, I also love the line where White Josh is like, "I won't feel safe until one of you is married." I was like, I love White Josh. So yeah, I guess I would say to Greg and Rebecca, I would say boot, but I mean, I would say toot, but I'm getting confused in our game. But I would say in the future.
Yeah. He, like, definitely had to get himself together.
Yeah, they both did. Like, I would say that, like, maybe, like, oh, maybe when his dad dies.
Ah.
Because then, like, that's kind of a reset. It's true. Right?
Well, his dad seemed like he was going to die anyway, so I'm like, honestly.
Yeah, his dad
honestly,
was definitely going
to
die.
And she hadn't even met the mom. The only one who had met the mom was Heather.
Heather, yeah.
So... it would have been a full restart for her. It's just like, dad's dead. We never, literally never have to talk about it ever again. It will be our sequel. We will take it to the grave. Let's go meet your mom.
Yep. I think that is exactly what they deserve.
Exactly. Love it.
So, yeah. So maybe like, a year or so after the finale ends, when Rebecca is, like, working at a musical theater camp, and Greg is, I don't know, what is he doing? Oh, running the restaurant.
Yeah.
And his dad dies, and then they're at the funeral, and then she's like, oh, we still love each other. That's it.
Yeah, that's perfect. That would be perfect. Honestly, it sounds like the premise of Bob's Burgers a little bit.
Oh, she becomes
Linda.
Linda.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it kind
of
does.
But instead of Linda working at the restaurant, she works at a musical theater camp.
Yep. I love this.
Oh, love it. Love this new spinoff of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We have two spinoffs.
I'm about to go write the fanfic.
Yeah. We have two completely different spinoffs in mind. It's like Game of Thrones when it ends. They're like, we have four spinoffs. It's like, well, we have two Crazy Ex-Girlfriend spinoffs. What do you have?
So, who's really winning here?
Who's deep in the Crazy Ex universe?
It's a good universe. It's rich. It's a rich world.
It's rich. It's deep. We've got bisexual Daryl.
Ugh, Daryl. How about Daryl and the hospital lady?
Oh, boot. I wasn't into it. I wanted him to be back with White Josh, so.
I also thought that they were cute. I thought she was a cute character.
Yeah, I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
It was very one-off-y, where it's just like, oh, Daryl found someone else. I'm like, good for him, I guess. He's not with White Josh, but whatever.
Yeah. You know who I wanted to come back was that girl that Josh had a moment with when he was about to get married to Rebecca, I think. There was, like, that girl who was at the basketball camp. I don't remember what it was
I think it was a basketball camp. I don't remember.
She, like, worked at the church or something.
Yeah, something like that.
She
was very flirty. I was just like, girl, who are you trying to fuck?
I wanted her to be the girl that he ended up with at the end, but it wasn't. It was some other random
girl. Some other rando. Yeah. I mean, it's whatever.
That I thought was a missed opportunity for them. I was like, oh, they should have had her come back.
Yeah. I don't know. When it came to Josh, I was just, like, very indifferent. Like, I liked him individually, but he was also someone who was, like, I didn't want to pair him with anyone because I'm like, maybe you shouldn't be with someone.
Oh, really? Because that's really funny because I felt very differently. I felt like Josh, out of anybody, like, really deserved to, like, be with somebody who wanted to be with him for, like, the right reasons. Because if you think about
true.
It, like, his relationships were, like, Valencia, who hated him, and then Rebecca, who was, like, into him for all the wrong reasons, like, who was just straight up projecting on him.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was a character who, like, really, like, was actually a romantic character and deserved to be with somebody who was, like, you know, into him for good reasons.
Well, you make a valid point.
I
didn't think about it that way. You make a valid point, Grace. The unsung ballad of Joshua Chan. Dear Joshua Felix Chan. love that song.
Are there any other ships? Any other?
No, I think that's it. We ran through all of them.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess so.
I shipped Maya and Daryl's friendship.
Yeah, they were good.
I wanted them to spend more time together, but, you know.
Yeah.
Then he had a child.
Only so much room for side characters.
Yeah. C'est la vie.
I shipped all the friendships. I thought every friendship was good.
Well, we've come to our conclusion of this, of our summation of this series.
It was about the friends the whole time.
That's true. This should have been called Friends. Crazy Ex Friends.
Crazy Ex Friends. Clap, clap, clap. This show is really the encapsulation of that meme that's like, maybe it was about the friendships we made along the way.
No, that can't be right. Me. No, that can't be right.
Or whatever that meme is. Should we end by saying our top songs?
Sure. I mean, or people could check us out on social media.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you did that.
I posted it on Instagram.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay, cool.
So,
well,
if
then
you...
never mind.
Exactly.
Don't fuck yourselves, everyone.
If you want to find out our top songs, go check out our Instagram. We are on there at, oh no, it's 2 a.m. Have a good time looking at that.
We sure are out there.
Yeah. We only had, like, two songs overlap on our lists, which I think were Villain in My Own Story and Let's Generalize About Men.
Yeah. Well, those are good ones.
Yeah. And those also... And like I said in my post, I'm like, clear indicators of why we're friends.
Basically. I feel like I'm the villain in my own story is like both of our thesis statements.
Exactly.
You're like, in life.
Wow. Honestly, I was thinking that the other day. I was just like, why? I'm like, am I the villain in my story?
Yes. I sure the fuck am.
Centipedes in my vagina.
It's more likely, ladies and gentlemen.
So what are we doing next time?
Oh, next time. Wow. We sure have got a doozy for you all.
What a question. Wow, what a question.
Can a question really be answered?
I think we should do Digimon. We keep not doing it.
I don't have time in my life to rewatch Digimon.
Why do you have to rewatch it? Can you not remember what happened?
Yeah, I guess I can.
Just like spot watch if you really want to do it. Like just watch like every like 10 or so episodes. Just pick an episode.
I'll just rewatch the ones I know are my favorites. No, I don't have to rewatch it.
I think they're
like. I didn't have time. I'm just rewatching the X-Files right now. That's not.
That's why you don't have time. At least I'm watching like a whole new season of something. Granted, it's Supernatural, but still.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. That is like not any better.
Well, you know.
What's worse? You watching a new season of a show that is now terrible, or me rewatching for the third time a great show.
At least in mine, there are new things happening where I'm like, what random bullshit will happen next? And that's really why I continue to watch, is I'm just like, what fresh hell will unfurl this go around?
What fresh literal hell is gonna happen? Oh, love it. Well, okay, I guess we're gonna do Digimon next time. I don't know why it sounds so...
We're just gonna do Digimon Adventure 1. We have to split it up because it's like...
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, so we're gonna do Adventure 1, which is completely different. We still have to watch Adventure Try. I've been trying to, like, find all the pieces of it. There are literally five parts.
If you find them, send them to me and we'll talk about that eventually.
I will. Oh, I also have to send you Camp Rock, because we have to all watch Camp Rock.
Yes.
Which I think is what I'm doing next week. So.
Cool. Well.
I'll let you know. I'll keep you abreast. Great. I don't know why I'm telling you. I don't know why I'm telling you that while we're recording, but anyway.
We just start going over our schedules. Well, I'm off next Thursday.
That's my favorite part of this podcast. It's like planning. Welcome to the planning section of our podcast.
Okay, guys, now we're gonna move on.
Now you really know what it's like to work in this demon office.
All right, well.
Tune in next time, I guess.
That's it.
See you guys. As always, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.